Thank you for listening to the official podcast of Everyday Church. We are a body of believers in Oklahoma City with a mission to live out our faith on a daily basis. Let's listen in as we hear a powerful message from God's Word.
You know, this is the first Sunday in December, which means Christmas is coming fast, right? So Christmas is really right around the corner here, and Christmas is a fun time of the year in many ways. I know it's a hard time of the year in many ways as well. And we're going to talk about that actually next week as we go into a Christmas series. But I think we could all agree that Christmas is the holiday of giving, right? I mean, at least we see a lot of commercials and marketing in that realm. But Christmas is a holiday of giving. Now, when I was younger, I didn't recognize it as a holiday of giving. I recognized it as a holiday of receiving, right? It wasn't about me giving the presents. It was about me getting the presents. That's what kept me up on Christmas Eve. It wasn't like, ooh, I can't wait to give this present and to see how it is received. It is like, ooh, I can't sleep because I'm thinking and dreaming about what I'm getting. That's what Christmas was about when I was younger. But as I matured, and it's not always about getting older, okay? Age doesn't always equal maturity. But as I matured, I began to realize that there's a switch, there's a change even in me, that I receive more joy from what I give than what I get. There became a point where it truly blessed me more to give than to receive. And that got me wondering, have you ever gotten to that place with God? Have you ever gotten to that place with God where you're more excited and concerned about what you are giving to the Lord than you are about what you're getting from God? Have you ever gotten to that place where it is better for you to give than to receive, where there's a greater joy even in giving to God in this relationship? It's not just about a take from God relationship. It's also about this, I want to give to you, God. Because ultimately what we know is that giving is greater than getting. In fact, Jesus himself, he told us this in Acts chapter 20. We see this quoted where Jesus says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now the question is, do you really believe that? If Jesus said, hey, it's better to give than it is to receive, do you believe that? Okay, I want you to put some thought into that. What does your prayer life say? Does your prayer life say you believe it is better to give than receive? Or is most of your prayers focused on, God, give me. I need this from you, God. Oh, God, would you please bestow your blessing upon me and allow me to buy this or to get this? What would your prayer life say that you really believe it is better to give than to receive? What about your time, your energy? What would it say that you're more focused on receiving or giving? See, I think if we were honest in our spiritual maturity, again, it's not about age, just our spiritual maturity, specifically in regards to our finances. And we could be mature in other ways, but just let's focus on the financial aspect. In regard to our finances, I think a lot of us are probably still on the immature side because we're focused more about being blessed than actually blessing others, right? It can be very self-centered, our relationship with the Lord, much like Christmas when we're younger. And we're just focused upon what we can get instead of about what we can give. And so today, I want to turn our attention to big giving. We've been going through this series about different things that should be big. And we talked about how Jesus is big. We talked about how our faith can be big. And we talked about God's faithfulness towards us is big. And on and on. We've talked about these different avenues of big. Well, I want to talk about big giving. And I want to look in as we go into this Christmas season that we keep this spirit of generosity going into the new year, and that we're marked by it, not just by a holiday and not just a season in our calendar, but that as Christians, we're marked by generosity. We're marked about being big givers. Even in the Christmas story, there's these wise men that show up and bring very expensive gifts to Jesus, because Christmas is all about, the original idea of Christmas is to give to God, right? And we want to have that as a year-round thought. Like, we serve a big God, and we want to be big givers. And so in your Bible, I want to look at the picture-perfect example of big giving. So I want you to find Exodus chapter 35. We're going to pick up in the middle of a time where God has instructed his people to build this moving tabernacle that is going to house his presence. They had a tent of meeting, and there was a time where we're still interacting with God, and specifically through Moses, but God wanted them to build this structure that would be movable, and that was going to be very symbolic and was going to house his presence in a very tangible way. And so this is after the Ten Commandments, okay? And Moses has met with God, and God gives him these very detailed instructions on how the structure is to be built, what kind of furniture is to be placed into it, who's permitted access into the different compartments of this moving tabernacle, there's a sanctuary inside it, the Holy of Holies, and there's just a bunch of details, there's a bunch of instructions. There is something precise God wants to happen with it, and he wants these people to build it. Now, in Exodus 35:30, we're going to see how this plays out. Exodus 35, verse 30, then Moses said to the Israelites, "See, the Lord has chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And he has filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skills, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of artistic crafts. And he has given both him and Oholiab, son of Ahizamak, of the tribe of Dan, the ability to teach others. He has filled them," this is God has filled them, "with skill to do all kinds of work as engravers, designers, embroiderers in blue, purple, and scarlet yarn and fine linen and weavers. All of them skilled workers and designers." Okay, we're going to go to the next chapter, verse 36. So God is empowering these people, filling them with the Spirit to accomplish the task. Verse 1, "So Bezalel and Oholiab and every skilled person to whom the Lord has given skill and ability to know how to carry out all the work of constructing the sanctuary are to do the work just as the Lord has commanded." God's given the ability. He wants them to do it just as he says. Verse 2, "Then Moses summoned Bezalel and Oholiab and every skilled person to whom the Lord has given ability and who was willing to come and do the work. They received from Moses all the offerings the Israelites had brought to carry out the work of constructing the sanctuary." Okay, they've already received offerings of materials, of resources to build it. All right, now keep going in that verse. Verse 3, "And the people continued to bring freewill offerings morning after morning." What happens? Verse 4, "So all the skilled workers who were doing all the work on the sanctuary left what they were doing. And they said to Moses, 'The people are bringing more than enough for doing the work the Lord commanded to be done.' Then Moses gave an order, and they sent this word throughout the camp: 'No man or woman is to make anything else as an offering for the sanctuary.' And so the people were restrained from bringing more, because what they already had was more than enough to do all the work." Now, this is truly amazing, okay? These men and women, they gave so much to God's work that the workers had to leave the job site, and they have to go tell Moses, "Hey, make them stop. Like, we good. We got more than enough to do the work the Lord has commanded to be done." This is just incredible generosity. Okay, this is a picture-perfect example of big giving, where you give so much, not only do you meet the need, but you go above and beyond. You go more than enough for the need. So how do we get there? How do we become a people are marked by big giving, just like they were in this story? Because we look at the story, I think it starts with obedience to the vision, specifically to the vision God gives. But they're being obedient to this vision that has been given to them. They believe in what God wanted, and so their hearts were stirred to say, "This is what God wants, I want to give." And we can't ignore that. That they're stepping into a very specific situation where God says, "I want you to build this structure, and it's going to be a tangible place for my presence. I'm going to be near you at all times." And so they bought in. This was exciting, and this was necessary. We're going to be in the presence of God. He wants to be with us. He wants this built. Let's go build it. We got to bring the resources to make it happen. In fact, go to Exodus 35 again. Go all the way to verse 4. This is when they first began bringing all those offerings. 35 verse 4. "Moses said to the whole Israelite community, 'This is what the Lord has commanded. From what you have, take an offering for the Lord. Everyone who is willing to bring to the Lord an offering of gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and fine linen, goat hair," and it goes on and on and on. The point is, here Moses is able to say, "This is what God wants. He wants you to bring an offering. If you're willing, bring it, gold, silver, bronze, and da-da-da-da." We need these resources to pull off this vision. Now, it's important. Moses can say, "Hey, God wants this. Because Moses has met with God and said, this is what the Lord commands. This is what God wants from us. And the people respond to this vision by giving, by bringing what they could, giving to the work of the Lord. Now, I don't think it was an easy decision. We don't see them go, kind of get their hands and mess with their hands and worry and stress and anxiety. We don't know, but this is a financial decision. This was costly to give. They're bringing, we saw gold, silver, and bronze. We can kind of put that together, but all of these resources are a financial gift of them either making or putting their energy, time, sweat, or their own personal resources in, and they're giving this to the Lord's work. It was a worthy investment, and so they trusted with what God wanted. Now, this same group made a bad investment prior to this, not too long before this. They knew what a horrible vision was. They had just screwed up royally. One time, just before this, was Moses was first receiving the Ten Commandments. He's on this mountain, and he's delayed. And they get worried, like, we don't know what's happened to him, but we really want some supernatural being to lead us. And so let's take all of our gold and make this golden calf. Okay, this was the investment they put their money in at first, a golden calf fund, an idol. And it was a dumb investment. And it wasn't just dumb, it was sinful. This was not what God wanted. It was not what God commanded. And they wasted their resources into a silly investment, a sinful investment, and they paid the consequences for it. Some even died. But now they can learn from their mistake, those that were able to make it through. And they say, no, okay, this is what God wants. This is a worthy investment. Let's give to the tabernacle, not to the fake idol. It got me thinking, I've got lots of investments. My family, whether that's IRAs, Roth IRA, college funds, money market account, whatever, financial, we'd think those are smart investments. And they can be smart investments because we first made the investment, at least 10% is going to the kingdom of God. We have investments into ball teams and to educational purposes, and we think those are good investments. They might be dumb investments if we first don't settle the first investment that needs to take place, doing what God wants, investing at least 10% in his kingdom. Why 10%? Because that's where he says to start. And so as a family, those other investments cannot happen for us unless the first investment is in its proper place, and that's giving to the kingdom of God. And I've talked in length about tithing before, and you can go back and listen to those messages. Just as a highlight, okay, God, before God gives the law, we see the principle of a tithe, which is a literal 10%, when Abram gives to Melchizedek, the king and priest of Salem, from the spoils of his battle, and he gives this as an offering, really, to the Lord. And then in the law, God states very explicitly in Leviticus chapter 27, one-tenth of the produce of the land, whether grain from the fields or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord and must be set apart to him as holy. Verse 32 of chapter 27, count off every tenth animal from your herds and flocks and set them apart for the Lord as holy. Even at the end of the Old Testament, we see Malachi, and we just talked about this passage a couple months ago where God says, hey, if you're not giving 10%, you're robbing me. Start there and watch what I do. I'll open up the floodgates of heaven and bless you if you would trust me with at least giving 10%. I'll bless the rest. And then Jesus comes along, and we're not under the law, but he always raised our level of response to God's law. It was deeper than a behavioral standard. It was with our heart. The gospel demands that we don't just love our friends, we love our enemies. The gospel says, don't just commit adultery. Okay, that's a sin. Don't even lust after another person. There was always this stricter standard when it came to Jesus. And so if the law was 10%, I would think Jesus would say we should even have a greater generosity than 10%. But that's a great floor. It's great to start there. But we're talking about being a big giver. And as a big giver, we start with obedience to the vision that God gives. And I don't think that equates to it's joyless. It's just a duty. It's an obligation. No, I think the people that gave so much that they had to be stopped because they were excited to see what God was going to do. There was an energy to, like, God's in this. We want to be close to God. We want to be led by God. And so we'll bring more than enough to do the work the Lord has commanded to be done. That already showed they wanted a spiritual being to lead them so much that they invested in a golden cow. But now they know, okay, this is what God wants. This is the one true God, and this is what he wants, and so we're fully invested. And I hope we can get to a place where our obedience is tied to joy and not just duty. I hope that you're excited about when you give to what the Lord is doing in and through Everyday Church. And that's not just because you feel like you have to, because that's not what we're about. I hope you are at the place where it's like, man, I get to join in with the people of God and the work of God and the mission of God. And we get to do this together. And I want you to know it takes all of us. And this next year, we want to do more than we've ever done before. And to do more, it takes more. We want to reach more people with the gospel. We want to minister to more people. We want to make a bigger difference in Africa and all over the world. We want to hire more staff, like a worship pastor, maybe even administrator. We want to hire in such a way that the person doesn't have to raise their own salary, or at least part of it. We want to be able to take care of a team, of a staff. We want to start saving money for a building. For that to happen, it takes all of us. And we can't do that currently upon what's coming in. We're maxed with what we're doing currently with what's coming in. And it's going to take more people to be faithful in their giving and more people giving more than they've ever given before. We need big givers. And I don't want you to hear a number with that, because it's not. Your dollar amount doesn't determine if you're a big giver. The dollar amount pales in comparison to the percentage. It's not about the number on the check, because some of you, that number could be huge, but it could be like 1%. So it's not about that. We need people giving above and beyond the tithe. I mean, currently we have people all over the United States, really, mostly some families in Alabama, maybe watching it online or our association. We have different people even locally that aren't a part of our faith family that give. Over 10% of what comes in comes from people that would not say Everyday Church is my faith family. They're a part of another faith family. But they believe in the mission of Everyday Church. But we shouldn't count on that. We should count on our people. Now, we'll receive it. We're not going to pass it up, because we want to be faithful with that and use it for God's glory. But we need our people to step up. I mean, what if this year, at some point, Everyday Church was just giving so much to the Lord in and through EC that I have to come and say, hey guys, listen, y'all have given so much. Y'all stop. We've done everything. Call it off right now. We're good for the rest of the year. Wouldn't that be incredible? Now, I would look like an idiot, but it would be incredible if that happened. In fact, if it does happen, I would first go to God and say, God, give us more first, okay, before I go tell them to stop. Give us some more. Is there anything else? Like, what, we need to be doing anything else? That's what my first conversation is going to be with God about that, okay? But if he says, no, I got y'all for the, you know, you're good, then I'll come. We'll say it. Like, hey, we're good. But it's going to take all of us. The people in Exodus, like, they gave. To be a big giver, you've got to be obedient to the vision God gives, but you also got to own God's values. In Exodus 36, verse 3, I want to read it again. They've already given, but we see they received from Moses all the offerings the Israelites had brought to carry out the work of constructing the sanctuary, and the people continued to bring freewill offerings morning after morning. So all the skilled workers who were doing all the work on the sanctuary left what they were doing. And they said to Moses, the people are bringing more than enough for doing the work the Lord commanded to be done. This was a group that had to embrace a new set of values. They couldn't trust their values anymore. They needed to adopt God's values, and they did. They got their values in the right place. They had a sacrificial spirit. They had already given, but they're like, we're going to keep giving. And morning by morning, they kept giving to the Lord, to his work. There was this need presented, and the people responded out of their values now. It was about God and what he wanted, and not about what they wanted. They had done that path, and it didn't work out for them. And so now they wanted to get on the path of God's values, what he wanted. So look how they gave. We see their values. They gave freely. The people continued to bring free will offerings morning after morning. They gave freely. It wasn't forced. It was something they chose to do. They did this willingly, not because they had to. They freely gave. This was a value for them. They weren't giving out of obligation. We don't want you to give out of obligation. We don't want you to give thinking, oh, I can obtain God's favor. Our heart and our desire is that we would be a people that give without expectation. It's not, it becomes manipulation if that you're giving to receive something instead of just giving because you want to be faithful to God. And if you want to be faithful to God and you want to give, there's no expectation saying, well, the money has to be this way. You have to use it this way. Moses just, he received it. They weren't saying, okay, Moses, now you have to do it. No, they'd already received the instruction from the Lord, what God wanted. Now they were just doing what God wanted. I've been a part of some churches and at least one organization where there were some givers that thought, since I wrote X amount of dollars on a check, that I should then get to say what happens. And there was a truckload of expectations with that gift. That was not worship. That was just manipulation. It was trying to make something happen for themselves. That's not the spirit here. Okay, they're not telling Moses what to do with the gift. They brought it for the Lord's work. This is what the Lord wants. Use this for God's glory. If you give to get, that's manipulation. But if you give to worship the Lord, you give freely. You want to glorify God with your gift. And the idea isn't, again, a guilt trip. It's a heart issue. It's a lordship issue. Do you trust him? Do you really trust God with your finances? You don't need a guilt trip to be a big giver. Instead, you get closer to God, you take on his values, and you give freely. He changes your character. I mean, God is a giver. He freely gave his son. You can't beat that gift. That's his heart. He freely gives. I told our e-group recently this story, and I told the church right after it happened, which was years ago. But in telling our e-group, I realized a lot of them had not heard this story yet. And so just to kind of bring that back to our mind, but the first time I went over to Africa, to Kenya, I got the opportunity to preach for one of their churches, a church that Center Wheels partners with and work closely with, and a very poor church. Kenya is very third world, very tough. That was one of the eye-opening experiences my first time there. But yet, in this church was a people that loved the Lord greatly, very passionate about God, and they welcomed me in, this white bald dude that they loved on. And they allowed me to preach, and I had that opportunity. And then the pastor came up and challenged his people in front of all. And in my message, I told them that we were a church plant, brand new church, that we were serving the Lord. And I asked them to pray for us. And when he got up, he challenged his church and said, hey, a lot of people in Africa expect the white man to show up and to help us. And that resonated with them because they love it when people come to give them help. He said, we're not asking for help today. We're going to help him and his church today. And so we're going to receive the offering, and everything that comes in today, we're sending it back to the United States to help this young pastor. I wasn't really young, but I don't even know if he said it. Maybe I'm just dreaming. He said I was young. We're going to help this young church and this old, ugly pastor, and everything that comes in is going to help them. Can you just imagine how moving that was? Do we have the picture where this is him praying over me after or during the offering? I don't remember exactly when, or as he's talking, it's just hand on me, praying over me, and then they would receive the offering and then say, here, hand it over to me. People even brought produce and stuff like that. I did not bring that back. Just the financial part. That was a picture perfect of big givers, because they didn't have much, but yet they gave, and they gave freely. They were challenged to give, but they still gave freely in the Spirit of the Lord to help everyday church and to help the kingdom of God. Well, I think it was a year later, Paul came over, who was part of that church, and we took up an offering that day. We received it and sent it on back to Africa to return it. But they didn't do that for that. They didn't know that was going to happen. But we were able to bless them as well, and they blessed us truly. And I'll never forget my heart and what it felt in that moment. The scripture says in Proverbs 11:24, give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything. You give freely, you become more wealthy. You're stingy, you lose everything. So this is about values. This is about character. Your character determines how you give. First, freely, without expectation. Now, your capacity will determine how much you give. Okay? That's the amount. But what's most important first is your character. Giving first, and you give freely. Perfect example. You know this example. Luke 21, verse 1. While Jesus was in the temple, he watched the rich people dropping their gifts in the collection box. Then a poor widow came by. She dropped in two small coins. I tell you the truth, Jesus said. This poor widow has given more than all the rest of them, for they have given a tiny part of their surplus. They had a great capacity, but she, poor as she is, with a very limited capacity, has given everything she has. Her character showed and shined through. Her capacity wasn't great, but she was a big giver, y'all, because she gave out of her strong character. She gave freely. And so did the Israelites back in Exodus. Morning after morning, they kept bringing gifts freely. But both of those examples, they also gave generously. Okay? Back in Exodus, they gave generously. Another word maybe would be sacrificially. All right, I'm going to use generously because there's some scripture that really ties in that word. But it says the people are bringing more than enough for doing the work the Lord commanded to be done. Okay? More than enough resonates. God teaches us that our return is directly related to what we give. If we give a little, the return is a little. If you give generously, the return will also be generous. I'm just telling you from experience and from the word of God, you can't outgive God. You can't outgive him. He will take care of you. I promise you. And how much you give is going to determine the return. You give a little, the return's a little. You give a lot, the return is a lot. Now, do we give to get? No. Because then you're starting to try to manipulate God. And he's not about that life. If your motive gets off track, there's everything else. Everything is off the table at that point. But if your motive is pure, God will bless you. And some of you have been comfortably tithing for years. It's a rhythm for you now. But my question for you today is, are you generous? You might be very faithful in the Lord and your tithing. Have you gotten to the point where you're generous? 2 Corinthians chapter 9 says, the point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. I'm going to skip to verse 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. Okay, a generous giver receives from the Lord and then seeks opportunities to bless others. We think, man, I did all the work, but God said, no, I provide the seed. I am the provider of it because all energy, all effort was really given to us by God. He's the source and he enriches us so that we can be generous. He provides more so that we can even be more generous. I read Proverbs 11:24. Proverbs 11:25 says, the generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. When you're generous to others, God steps in and takes care of you too. God will not let you down. You can trust him in your generosity. And the people gave generously, they gave sacrificially. Because the last way I want to look at is they gave cheerfully. They gave cheerfully. Now I'm going to have to assume for a minute, and I hope you allow me to, okay? Because this exact word isn't in Scripture. We don't have the whole story of what was going on in their heart, but from the context, the implication seems to be since they had to be restrained from giving, the workers had to tell Moses, hey, call them off, and they restrained them from giving, lends me to believe that there was an element of joy in their giving. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, you must each decide in your hearts how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. That same word or the word that is used for cheerfully, we use as hilarious. It's the word for hilarious in English. It's like we should give with joy. It shouldn't be a tug of war for us in our spirit. We should even kind of laugh when we give. Maybe with a tinge of pain, but it's like, okay, God, all right. Man, I'm going to trust you. I'm just going to give this to you. Living generously is the pathway to living joyfully. I can tell you this. I've never met a grumpy giver. Now, I've seen people wrestle with it and then give and then something change in their spirit. But you don't meet grumpy givers. I've met grumpy, stingy people. I can promise you that. But giving people tend to be joyful. I've been involved in churches, and there for a season, this even happened with us a little bit, that it would be like, hey, we're going to receive the offering, and people would cheer. God loves a cheerful giver. So church, I want to get us to that point. And I have to always be careful with this. One, Jesus talked about finances a lot, and I've told you that before. And so this isn't what I can get from you. This is, take me out of the equation. This is, as a pastor, trying to help you be all that you can be in the Lord. And one big arena of your life is finances. It would be silly of me I'm almost like malpractice. It would be poor for me not to bring up the arena of finances in your life as a pastor if I know that could bless you and it could advance the kingdom of God and it could be great for God and great for you. How poor of me not to ever talk about this. Just because some people might find it sensitive or a touchy subject. Listen, God wants to, when we gave our life to Christ, he's Lord of all. And one arena Satan likes to try and make you think that you're still the boss of is finances. And so we need to surrender that today. And so I want to ask you a couple things. First, if you don't know the percentage of what you're giving, you need to find that out. And so my first ask is, if that is anywhere under 10%, you would go to 10% now. You would get there. And so you might have to do some math to figure out, what do you make? And I would say before taxes, it's your salary for the year. And some of you, maybe it's sales and commission. You got more math to do, but it will be worth the time to figure it out. But if you know what you make, you figure it out. Okay, 10% for the year, and I'm going to break that down into month or bi-monthly or weekly or however you want to do it. But okay, I'm going to figure out what that number is. And if you, what you currently give, whether you've been faithful to our faith family or not, if it's under 10%, it's like, okay, I need to get to 10%. I'm going to at least get to the baseline of where. And I just promise you, you will see God intervene in your finances like you've never had before. In our e-group, 2 weeks ago, I think it was, maybe 3 weeks ago, maybe a month ago, I don't know, time flies. But it was somewhat recently, there was a testimony in our e-group that said, we've never taken giving seriously until being a part of Everyday Church. We started taking it seriously and giving a tithe, and God has allowed us to make more money this year than we have previously, ever before. That is a testimony of people within our faith family. And some of you in this room could raise your hand and say that, yeah, I agree with that. Now, again, we give to give because we want to worship the Lord. But I'm telling you, he will not disappear from your finances. He will be involved in your finances. Now, if you are at 10%, my ask for you is for 2022 to help us do all that we want to do and to do more as a church than ever before. I would say, can we go up 5%? Can we become a big giver and stretch? Whatever percentage you are now, can you go up 5? And trust the Lord with your finances. I want you to pray about it. I want you to ask him about it. But we want to get to the place where David, our family pastor, doesn't have to make phone calls to raise support. We're able to, as a church, to step in and to help. But he's a full-time guy. He needs to be full-time. It's going to take all of us. Where we could have a worship pastor on a consistent basis. Jonathan's doing a great job of making sure people are here and filled in, but we would like someone to own that. Well, we need to have the resources to pull that off, to save for a building. And it's not just about this stuff. Now, it's a big part. Okay, we pay to be here. We pay to do ministry. But also, we want to send it out. We want to do more as we give more. It's going to take all of us stepping into that. And so also, I want to ask you to pray for the pastor's council and myself as we meet tomorrow to set the budget for 2022. Now, we'd feel a whole lot better if we know our people are like, we're all in. We're stepping up and becoming a big giver. I've been under 10%. I'm going to get to 10%. Or man, I've been over and I'm going to stretch myself and we're going to give even above and beyond that. We're going to do more than enough than the work the Lord commanded to be done. That meeting tomorrow is going to be a whole lot different if we sense the Lord saying, hey, we're there. And so pray for us as we meet and we talk about how to pull all this off. The Lord owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns it all. It's his. We're owners and managers of it, and we're going to trust him with it. But as a church, we want to do more. We want to do more. And it's going to take all of us pulling our resources together to do that. So I want you to be praying about those things. Am I under 10? Let me get there. If I'm at 10 or greater, how can I bump that up? Even up to 5% or more, whatever the Lord would want. And then, hey, I'm going to pray for the church as we really seek what God wants us to do in 2022 with all the resources that he gives us. Would you pray for those things? Let's pray now. If you'd close your eyes, bow your head. This is kind of an in-house thing. This is really for the members of Everyday Church saying, this is my faith family. Hey, if this is your faith family, well, hey, we're gonna bring this together and we're going to honor and serve the Lord with it. And so I want you to pray and say, God, what is it you want me to give? My family. What can I do to help? To worship you with my finances. To honor you with my finances. And really, my is a little probably too strong. The finances you've allowed me to have, God. What you've allowed to come in, Lord, thank you for that. I want to glorify you with that. Would you pray, God, what is it you want done with these finances? Speak to me. Speak to my family. Let us all be on the same page and let's give and be known for a generous giver, a cheerful giver, giving freely. I'm not trying to talk you into something. Don't do it. I want you to be Spirit-led. But like Moses presented an opportunity, I want to present you an opportunity. 2022, we want to do more than we've ever done before. Let's bring it. Let's go. Would you pray for our meeting tomorrow? That the Spirit of God would rule and reign and lead us in the mission of Everyday Church. To reach the city, to reach the world one day at a time. How can we best pull that off in 2022? God, speak clearly to us in that. Would you ask him for that? Father, as a church, everything that I'm asking our people, I'm praying collectively for the whole. We would be, as a church, we would give freely. We would give generously and sacrificially. We would give cheerfully. And we would do the most amount of ministry possible in 2022 as possible, supernaturally inspired by you. God, set that path for us. I pray for your provision for what you want us to do. I thank you for all the people that have been outside of our faith family that have believed in us and have given over 8 years. From before we even started meeting, people were giving, which is incredible. And it's to your testimony, God, of your provision. Thank you for Life Church blessing us financially just a year ago. There's families, there's organizations. Our association has been incredible, God. Thank you for our partnership. You have blessed us tremendously. We don't overlook that. We don't take that for granted. Thank you for your hand of provision. God, we long to just be more faithful and to do more in the name of Jesus. We want to take the gospel into our city, into our country, into this world. It's not about us, it's about you. We want to minister to the people here, our faith family, even greater. And so, Lord, we pray for your provision for David and for more staff so that we can reach even more people. But, Lord, we're going to trust you with it. You say to trust you with it. We hold it loosely. We want to honor you with our whole being and not hold back the part of our life that is our finances. We want to honor you with everything. And so thank you for your provision even personally in my life and for people in this room. We have a lot to be thankful for your provision. Thank you for providing for our faith family. And God, I just pray you'd get the glory out of everything that you've given, that we would be obedient to the vision and we would obey out of the values that you've given us, God, and we would own those values. So I praise you. I thank you for what you're going to do in advance, and I thank you for your provision in advance, knowing that you are going to give and take care of us, and we believe that. Now, no one looking around, you know, one of the things as a church, we want to make sure that you know that none of this happens without Jesus. It all starts with Jesus. And if you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus, this money thing, that's way secondary compared to first putting your faith and trust in him. So if you're online today or you're in this room and you want to have a conversation about what it means to follow Jesus, let us know. That's what we want, most importantly, to get right. Because you get that right, everything else will fall into place. And it's just growing to be more like Jesus and mirroring his heart. Part of that is being generous. But you start with, hey, I want to give my life to Jesus. And if you want to do that, there's a way to communicate with us online by going to everyday.church, clicking on the Connect tab, or in this room, filling out that Connect card. And so I'm asking that you'd be bold enough to do that today so that we could set a time where we talk about what it means to follow Jesus. So Lord, thank you for what you're doing in this room. We love you. In your name, amen.
This is Pastor John. Thank you so much for listening to the Everyday Church Podcast. For more information on us, or if you happen to make a spiritual decision during this message, please let us know and go to our website, www.everyday.church. There's an email link that you can click on, and we would love to hear from you. If there's anything going on that has happened during this message, if the Lord has spoken to you, or you made a decision to follow Jesus Christ. Also, if there's a prayer request or concern, then you can email us, and we would love to take the time to pray for you and respond in any way that we can. Again, thank you so much for listening. God bless.